The unemployment report comes out this morning. What will the government do with it?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. It's the first Friday of the month, a day economists and stockbrokers wait for. The government releases its report on how many people lost or gained jobs in the last month, and we get the new unemployment rate. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson's on the jobs beat this morning, joins us live from New York. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, Bill.
What do we expect to hear about the month of August?
Well, we know that 115,000 temporary census jobs ended last month, and that's especially bad news because economists are only expecting a small gain in private sector jobs, about 40,000, which is less than the gain we saw in July. As for the unemployment rate, we are likely to see the first step in the wrong direction since April, from 9.5 to 9.6%.
And how do we get that number going in the right direction?
It's a good question, and probably one the White House is asking as well this morning, Bill. The Washington Post is reporting that the Obama administration is now considering a brand new package of tax cuts for businesses, potentially worth hundreds of billions of dollars in advance of the midterm elections this November. And by the way, we are expecting to hear from President Obama around 10 a.m. Eastern time this morning, which is shortly after that jobs report comes out.
Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson, thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
And let's do the numbers. Because investors are waiting to hear that jobs report, trading is light, world markets are up about 0.5%. Yesterday, the Dow gained 50 points and closed at 10,320. In Orlando, Florida, this week saw the conclusion of a bloody battle for the hearts, or at least the veins, of local high school kids. Two rival blood banks were trying to outbid each other for the right to hold blood drives at 19 local high schools. From WMFE in Orlando, Judith Smelser reports.
An Orlando-based group called Florida's Blood Centers has always given away token prizes at blood drives in Orange County high schools, things like T-shirts and movie tickets. This year, the blood bank offered money, more than $50,000, to the schools themselves. What changed? Mike Pratt is the blood bank's interim CEO.
Now, of course, the schools are under financial pressures, and here's an opportunity for some scholarship money for their students.
But there's another factor. For the first time this year, his group had competition. A rival blood bank based in South Florida offered to pay the county schools for the right to hold high school blood drives. The local group won out in the end. School District Chief of Staff Kathy Palmer says money had nothing to do with it.
The deciding factor on that was that the blood stays locally with all that they collect.
But Florida's blood centers will be out a whole lot of money it wasn't expecting to spend. The cost will be passed along to area hospitals that already pay around $200 for each pint of red blood cells they get. In Orlando, I'm Judith Smelser for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com. American Public Media presents Marketplace Minute, supported by Yellow Book 360. Tune in every Friday for Bill Radke's poetic take on the week's news in 60 seconds, available at marketplace.org.
A lot of people will tell you money doesn't buy happiness. And they can point to a lot of wealthy, unhappy people, one of the most famous being the late billionaire Howard Hughes. But a new book makes the improbable claim that Hughes lost his money and still lived happily for a lot longer than you thought. Author Douglas Wellman, welcome to Marketplace.
Thank you very much, Bill. I'm happy to be here.
The official story is Howard Hughes died in 1976, drugged up, maybe mentally ill, emaciated. You tell a very different tale.
That's quite correct. This information came to me via Air National Guard Major General who was involved with a charitable organization. He was helping a woman named Eva McClellan deal with the health issues of her husband. And after the husband died, she told him the story that the man, in fact, had not been the Werner Nickley he claimed to be, but in fact was Howard Hughes.
He appointed a drug-addled homeless man to fill in for him, assumed a new identity, and lived secretly in Alabama with this woman, his new wife, until a few years ago?
Until a few years ago. Werner Nickley, as he called himself, was actually the identity of one Werner Nicely, who had disappeared in the mid-60s on a CIA mission, according to his son.
This being a business show, I have to ask, what happened to all his money?
Nick, as he called himself, his response to Eva when she asked later, where did the money go? He said, my relative screwed me out of it.
Now, this is a fantastic story, and I can't verify it. There's some hearsay. I'm wondering what it's like for you to have written a nonfiction book that a lot of people are going to take as fiction.
In fact, I had a very good friend, and he came into my office. He could not help but smirking at the entire idea. 3 weeks later, he saw me on the street. He ran up and grabbed me and said, you're right. It's got to be true. So, yeah, it's a little difficult.
When I introduced you, I referred to troubled rich people teaching us the lesson that money doesn't buy happiness. Does this version of events teach us a lesson about money?
I think it does. Hughes, of course, initially reveled in his money. But when he was in the movie business, he and actress Billy Dove took off and lived in a dirt-floored cabin in Arizona, which he later commented was one of the happiest periods of his life. He was an interesting man. He spent tons of money on movies and aircraft, but his own life was very, very simple.
Douglas Wellman, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And finally, in case you missed any of this week's business news, that's okay, because here's everything you need to know in a Marketplace Minute. Despite the economic crash, corporations have lots of cash. Hey, how about some hiring? Nope, they're just acquiring each other. Sanofi Aventis went for Genzyme. That's momentous. Intel, 3M, Hertz are buying. HP2, and Dell was trying. Bernanke says the holy grail would be to end too big to fail. I don't mean him any malice, but King Arthur never found that chalice. The thought of an oil explosion was chilling, not least for the people who do the drilling, and Double Rainbow Guy is willing to do some video software shilling. Don't know the rainbow? Oh, it's worth a look-see at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke, tweeting at Bill Radke Radio. Download our midday update podcast every day at our website, marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.